Yo, what is up, Kaplan and crew? With you guys on a Thursday, the first day of September. Alex Padilla, John Browner, Jason Lawhead with you. Scott, we'll be back next week. This is our last day of the week. We're going to take a little four-day Labor Day holiday weekend, which yesterday, boys, we were talking about how we knew how in San Diego the seasons feel a little delayed. We're now into our hot season. And I also forgot to mention what signifies the beginning of the heat being here. Oh, there's wildfires. So be careful out there if you're in the East County of San Diego. I see that fire, the border. I think it's called the border fire. So just be careful if you're out there. I know a lot of freeways are closed. I know a lot of highways are closed. Hopefully they are able to contain it. It doesn't get too crazy out there. And a shout out to all the firefighters trying to knock them fires down. I know there's one in LA too. So it's wildfire season, unfortunately, here in California. And it's hot. It's very hot. So, boys, we're brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Just minutes away from downtown San Diego, 7 Mile Casino is a smoke-free environment with all of your favorite table games. Now, with a Sammy's restaurant and bar, with a full bar where you can just get yourself a Browner Espresso Martini or get yourself some beer like I would do. Plenty of food, plenty of drinks. And remember, 7 Mile Casino is supposed to be fun. So if you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Fellas, it's our last day of the week. How we feeling? How we doing? How we living?
First of all, let's be very clear about something. We coming off a 3-game sweep of the San Francisco Giants. So let's start there. We back. We won, what, 5 of the last 6? Mm-hmm. Cruising, abusing teams. Before the night was over, we were tied for the second spot in the wild card. But, you know, things happen over time. So about we back now a half a game. But we're going to get that thing back. We're going to get back on track. We're going to get that lead back. I like where we at. We came. We saw San Francisco. We stepped over a couple crackheads, a couple meth heads. We conquered. We left. We went to L.A.
All right. Jason, how you feeling today?
Good. Look at me. Look at my new look. I don't know if you noticed, but I've noticed myself.
Yeah, we can actually see you. You're not like a mile away from the camera.
Yeah.
You change your hair?
Well, I did cut my hair, but. And always wear a hat on. But no, I configured, you know, noticing and watching some of the video, seeing where my setup was, and I was just kind of working with what I had in the spare room. I rearranged some stuff. I swung a nice desk solution here. I got the camera tighter. I got the lighting better. I got it more of a tight. So I'm really excited. Now it's just the Bose headphones next, I think, this weekend. I'm going to make that purchase. Uh-oh. And I'm a real profesh now, man. Speaking of hot, I'm looking hot in here. I like it.
I'm hot.
Come on. What's going on? Sig alert over here in the Lawhead studio.
Browner, by the way, people were mentioning, I don't know if you jumped into the chat lens. A, people were disputing Daddy Chatlin because you're never in the chat. People are like, some people were calling you not even a Chatlin. Let's just start there. And secondly, people were giving you advice on the leather for your headphones that you could just replace it, that you can just buy new covers.
Let me address the first.
I knew. I know. That's actually what I want to talk about. I don't care about your headphones too much.
Let me address this situation. You know, some of the best fathers are absentee. Okay? Because you know what happens when you have an absentee father? You become a man on your own. And that's what's most important. Now, or woman.
Are you calling the Chatlins fatherless?
No. I'm telling them, Chatlins, here's the deal. Sometimes Papa got to work, so Papa can't be sitting around the chat all day. Okay? How y'all think this will turn? Just down.
Today you are. Today you're going to be chatting all day.
Oh, yeah. Well, today I got to show up. Already. It's a parent-teacher conference. Okay?
Yeah.
Parent-teacher conference. And so I got to go, and I got to round up the ones who want to go on a field trip.
I feel like you're the dad that works overnights, so your kids don't see you during the day because they're at school, and your kids don't see you at night because you're already at work, and you're pissed off that you got to go to the parent-teacher conference in your full-on work clothes.
That's right.
You're
going
to be 2 hours late to work tonight, which is going to cost you 2 hours of labor. So now you got to go to the parent-teacher conference today for a solid 30, 40 minutes and pretty much like make sure that your kid hasn't been messing around, the report card's okay. He's, you know, so you got to lay down the law tonight.
I have to go. I'm going to go there looking like Terry Crews from Everybody Hates Chris. The whole blue jumpsuit, buttoned down a couple notches with a look on my face like, what do you do now?
So today in the chat, you are going to select 14 Chatlins.
Down to 12. We had a bending of the knee.
I saw Anthony bend the knee.
So he's number one because he was gracious enough to understand the error of his ways. He was granted the number one pick in the fantasy league.
I do like that Anthony said, I only did it in case we failed. Like, I never actually activated the league. I just created the league in case we failed so then we wouldn't be left out. So
yeah,
shout out, man. Anthony.
Shout out. So he number one. He is the number one selection. And so he ain't got to be here. He ain't got to be here today. You are excused unless you want to stay for the content, which you should like, share, and subscribe. But outside of that, yeah, man, the 12 more people.
That's only 15, though.
No, me, 16-team league. Me,
yeah.
Jason,
Anthony,
and I got, and somebody else who I was also issued a plea last night by someone who can't be here today.
Who?
Hold on. All right, talk amongst yourself. I'll rat them out.
Is it Tommy?
No, man. Tommy don't get no special treatment.
Tommy wants in so bad, Jason. Tommy was like, hey, I want in on the league. I think he put on the chat like 100 times, Brown. He wants in on the league. Are you going to deny Tommy if he's in there today? Are you going to deny Tommy?
Joe Cabral is number two.
Oh, you're right, Joe. You can't deny Tommy unless, you know, his attendance record hasn't been good and he's failing some classes. Is he failing any classes?
Listen, Tommy has been...
I mean, his 100% attendance rate to every event we've ever done.
Yeah, that's true. He's actually, like, stays too long with the teacher sometimes, you know, that's when the teacher's like, hey...
He bring three apples to the teacher, clean, just over
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, exactly. You've cleaned every eraser twice. I want to go home to my family.
You know what? Tom, you in, dog. Tom's number three.
Yeah.
Let me see. I need a pen to write all these people.
Well, you can't just give out spots yet.
Why? What do you mean? Papa can give out whatever he need. Okay? For people to say that I ain't Papa Chatlin, bro, well, y'all, who are you? Who are these people? Where have you been? How do you think you got here, sir? You know what you'd be called without me? Huh? Followers. You're welcome. Fans.
I think
you're welcome. I created a name amongst all itself so y'all could just be y'all, okay? Don't do that.
There are people who not only don't want to call you Daddy Chatlin, don't acknowledge you as Daddy Chatlin. Well,
I don't want another man calling me Daddy Chatlin to begin with.
Your Chatlin membership is being questioned.
Man, you can't listen, man. When you created the club, a member cannot question you. They cannot question you. Who are these questioners? Okay. One is so high he cannot hear the questions of those who do not include themselves. So
I hope that
worry about them.
You select the person that is questioning your Chatlinhood.
See, so
I'm not going to tell you who it is. I know who it is, but I'm not going to tell you. So I hope today you select them.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you.
It ain't Joe Rigby.
No, Joe Rigby's not in your Chatlin's league. Joe Rigby's in our league.
I mean, listen, there's only like three or four people that I would even acknowledge the complaint. And I know it ain't Tom. Shout out. I know it ain't Joe Rigby. And other person, I don't even know. I'm gonna go with a nah. I'm good on that.
Well, you got a lot of work to do today, so enjoy the chat.
I do have a lot of work to do.
That's coming up later today, 3:30. If you're a Chatlin, you're in the chat. This is your chance to get into the Chatlin Fantasy Football League that has Browner, Jason, Joe, Anthony, Tommy.
If you won't in, hashtag starting right now, you need to write hashtag Chatlin.
Hashtag, how about you at Browner so you can see it, and then hashtag Chatlin.
Okay, you know what? At Browner, hashtag
or whatever your YouTube
Chatlin FF.
Oh gosh, this is so confusing. Anyways, good luck with that today. Yeah, you brought it up already. Today is a good day because the Padres went to San Francisco and did some work. They swept the Giants. It was their first sweep since June when they swept the Diamondbacks in San Diego. The second time they sweep San Francisco in San Francisco. That's the first time they've ever swept San Francisco two times in San Francisco. Let's see. What else happened yesterday in that game, Browner? Joe Musgrove got his first win since June 16th.
Ouch.
Josh Hader got his first save as a Padre. I'm sure everybody's booty hole was clinched super tight when he came out at that moment. And that was a good week. I mean, listen, anytime your opponents win in the wild card chase, you need to also win in the wild card chase. And now, because you got three games against the Dodgers, so you had to go and take advantage, and that's exactly what the Padres did.
I thought the appearance by Hader was a brilliant move that could have absolutely blown up on Bob Melvin. I see what he's trying, the confidence he's trying to build in Josh Hader while also not losing games because of Josh Hader. For Hader to then respond and come out and get the save shows that Melvin has an understanding for his players. And it also shows that baseball is such a day-to-day thing. The last time we saw Josh Hader, he couldn't even throw a strike without it getting knocked out of the ballpark. So for him to then take the field in San Francisco and seem like the guy we traded for, it gives me more confidence that with him and Nick Martinez in that bullpen, we are one guy away from taking care of the seventh inning for us being on the plan that I think would absolutely catapult us to the World Series.
The World Series.
The World Series, Craig. The world.
Hot damn, dude. The World Series. I'm over here. How about you get in?
Yeah.
If you follow my
get
formula.
Get into the dance.
If you follow
you
my
win
formula.
The dance off.
Nick Martinez or Hader, eighth and ninth. You give me somebody in the seventh that can do equally
what
they can do.
Let me ask you a question. One outing of Josh Hader, you now trust Josh Hader completely?
I trust the track record of Josh Hader over the recent spill that he's had. So I don't, he's had a long career of success. People that good at something figure it out. He could have had something personal going on, he could have had something physical going on, he could have been tipping his pitches. Like, there's a lot of things that could have been going on with him that just don't even involve baseball. Like, getting traded sucks. He's been there for a while. He probably had family there, had friends there, and then you have to uproot your entire family to a new place where then your wife's got to do all the work when you get traded because you've got to go out and perform on the road. You got to travel. You got to keep up with whatever it is you do for baseball or your respective sport. So getting traded sucks. And sometimes in these guys' personal lives that we just discount, they may be going through things personally that we don't acknowledge. And what does it take to get those things right? I don't know, but he looked right last night. He didn't look like he looked in Kansas City. And if it's just a matter of missing bats, looked like he figured it out to me. How many you need? How many you need? One was good for me.
Yeah, I mean, the one hit he gave up, it was like this random bloop single to center field. Campusano should have caught the pass ball. So I think yesterday he did look like the velocity was back. He looked like he just said, you know what? I know I could throw 99, and I'm just going to throw 99. Like,
yes.
Hit it.
Yeah, if you hit it, great.
Do I now trust Josh Hader that he's back to the all-star Josh Hader? No, I don't. Like, I got to see, like, a few strings of performances to say that. He's come on a few times and did what he did yesterday. He hasn't had a save yet, but he's got a win. He has a hold. So it's encouraging that, A, the staff didn't give up on him.
Yes.
I think, to me, that was the biggest – yesterday, because I know I said you can't pitch this guy. You're like, he's unpitchable, is what I called him. And now you have Bob Melvin, Ruben Niebla, Manny Machado. They're like, if we're gonna do anything, we need that guy.
Yes.
So we need to get that guy right before we get into September. Now we're in September, and they threw him out in a very high leverage situation, and he came out and he got the save. Jason.
Huge, huge move by Melvin, and smart move by Melvin. And this might be the move you look back at, because, like you said, nobody wanted him out there. You know, nobody trusts him. And this doesn't equal that he's fully trustable right now. But Browner made some great points. Trading sucks. Getting traded sucks when you don't see it coming, or, you know, it's a whole big ordeal at this point of the season. There isn't a whole off season to deal with that. It's thrown right at you. And this was a kind of a two-way street kind of a thing, I think, where Melvin was smart enough and experienced enough to know we traded for this guy. This is how much money he makes. We can't just pretend he's going to be a setup guy the rest of the way and hope, you know, we've got to find out now. It's, you know, there is it. We can't test this later when we really need all these wins. And here was a good spot, right? In San Francisco, yeah. You've won the series. Go out there, make you and me look good, and let's build off of this. And I thought it's a great move by Melvin, and it might just be the thing that, you know, because now you go into this LA series. Now he can trust him. Let's say Saturday's game is a save opportunity. Maybe Melvin's going to go, you know what? We always lose to the Dodgers. I'm going to roll this dice again, and I'm going to put this guy in the crosshairs of a big moment against a good team, and let's see if he can shut him down in the ninth or Sunday or whatever. And I love it. And I think at the end of the day, it's better to have two of those guys you trust if you love the fact that Martinez and Hader, because, you know, pitching changes the way these guys, they don't. October is a whole different ball game, especially when you get deep, when you get into game fives and sixes and sevens. If you have that opportunity, you throw all that stuff that you were doing all regular season. This started this day, bullpen, rest, this guy set up, all that goes away to the who's going to get this guy out and get us to the next inning so Machado can, you know, drive a run home that we need. I love it.
And I think ideally, if you're the Padres, if you're a Padres fan, you want the flexibility of having Nick Martinez available in different scenarios, because he's the kind of pitcher that can go out there and give you three innings. He's the kind of pitcher that can go out you and get you a save. He's the kind of pitcher that gets you a hold. This is the kind of guy, like, so not placing Martinez into one specific role is beneficial. I do think that he fits the role nicely as a closer, but yeah, of course, if Josh Hader can turn it around and he can perform like he did yesterday, that is what you want. That is what you actually, that's probably what you need, to be honest. It's more than a want. It's probably what you need from him, is you need him to be the Josh Hader of old, because you need Nick Martinez, you need Chris Matt, you need Garcia to come in other situations. And you can't just be lollygagging and like, let's pick a name out of a hat. Okay, you're the closer today. Let's go get him. Like, that's just not how it works.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the Cleveland Indians 2016 team, obviously I know that team, so I'm going to bring them up. But they're a great example of when you go out and get a guy, and then they were using Andrew Miller. Sometimes he would close and get the save. They were using Cody Allen, who was their main closer throughout the season. He was their, you know, analytical closer to say, here's you. But when October came and they had to beat Boston and they had to beat Toronto, and then they, you know, had to go in and play in the World Series and with a hurt starting rotation and have to figure out things. They had that. They even had Brian Shaw that might have saved a game or two when he was hot back then. So this is good. Who cares who's the hotter closer or who's the better closer? Let's say we got two of them that are pitching well, and we can use them anytime, any moment in the game when these things unfold and they get wacky and these pitching changes and, you know, innings go long and you got a tie game in the sixth and the seventh and the eighth. And I think it's great move by Melvin, especially right now.
That's funny. If you look at the top save leaders, there's three with 30 and three with 29. And three of the closers with those saves have an above four ERA. So it's not like there's like a lot. There's two guys that are really great in Edwin Diaz and Emmanuel Clase, but everybody else, it's high ERAs, man. So it's not, the Padres aren't the only team with a closer problem, even though you're getting a closer that's getting you saves. Because look who's leading, Kenley Jansen. We all know his issues.
Yeah.
He's the leader in Atlanta. I mean, the Dodgers got rid of him because they didn't want to trust him anymore. Mm-hmm. And now he leads the league in saves in Atlanta, and we all know his issues. Josh Hader, that ERA is a freaking Everest of an ERA at 6.35. But he leads the league in saves. He's tied with 30. And we traded a guy that we couldn't trust in Taylor Rogers, and he's got the second most saves in all baseball. So it's just one of those things where it's a baseball problem, I think, the closer issue. And maybe it's evolving to what you said, Jason. Maybe other teams will do a closer by commission. But right now, I think it is a Padres need that you, when you have a lead, when it's a save opportunity, Josh Hader needs to come out. Josh Hader needs to be the guy. Yeah. Will he be? I don't know. But we all agree that he doesn't need to be the guy. Today, shortened show. talking more Padres. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weekend. We'll take a look at Manny Machado's incredible August. But what's funny is that we in San Diego, you got tunnel vision. We're all watching the Padres, and that's it. And we're like, oh, Manny Machado's probably like the MVP. Dude, there's another third baseman that's having a better month than him, and he's in St. Louis. It's ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. But we'll take a look at some numbers. We'll also get you guys ready for the weekend against the Dodgers. We're going to talk about all the NFL news. Russell Wilson, not the fourth best quarterback in the AFC West. He got paid today. Word. We'll take a look at those numbers. Plenty to get to today. San Diego State. College football's here, boys. College football tonight. Big games on Saturday. I watched tennis. Did you? Let's talk about everything next. Kaplan and Crew. KaplanandCrew.com. Welcome back, everybody, to Kaplan and Crew. Alex Padilla, John Browner with you guys. Final day of the week for us. We're going to take a little bit of a four-day break for Labor Day weekend. And then it's all heads down, and we're all in on football. There's no more breaks after that for us here on the show. Obviously, NFL kicks off next week on Thursday as the Bills host the Rams. College football tonight, big games. I guess kind of big games. You got games like West Virginia and Pitt. You do have some ranked schools playing tonight. Saturday, you got a bunch of games. But I think if you're in San Diego, you're looking at two things, probably really one only, and that's Padres at Dodgers. And then you do have the opener at Snapdragon Stadium. And I didn't even know this until today. Did you guys know San Diego State, obviously, the game is on CBS. We talked about that. It's at 12:30. It's the prime slot for CBS. They got the number one team here. It's Brad Nessler. It's Gary Danielson. Mm. It's Jenny Dell. The number one team is in San Diego for the first ever game at Snapdragon Stadium. Luckily for them, they're going to be inside because it's going to be, according to forecast, a record high of 92 to 93 degrees at kickoff on Saturday, which would match this time of the year's high in Mission Valley. It's going to be hot, yo. They've already come out, and San Diego State is telling people, please come prepared for the heat. It is going to be a scorcher. They're putting up misters. There's going to be water. They're bringing in, like, water refill stations. San Diego State is telling people, yo, bring water. We're going to have places you can refill your water. We're going to have misters all over the stadium. It's going to be hot, yo. It's going to be hot.
Ugh. Ugh. I don't know if that's another reason why to wait till next week. Hey, come on, man. No, it's going to be hotter than hot. Arizona will feel at home.
Yeah.
That's about all I can tell you about that, man. I cannot think of worse circumstances to be opening a new stadium. Can't.
And it's always hotter on the field, you know, with all those chemicals that are inside the turf and the pads and everything. So those guys down on the field will be in pads and playing. They'll be in, you know, 100+ degree temperatures in their body. No doubt.
Yeah, luckily for them, it's not turf; it's real grass.
Oh, it is. It is real grass, but
turf will burn your feet off, man.
Oh, okay. I thought it was field turf, but it is. It is all natural grass. Good. That's great. Yeah.
And I'm pretty stoked. I think I'll be on the road at that time. I think we're gonna leave pretty early. But I'm gonna tune in on my phone, take a look at it. I want to see what it looks like. I'm very curious to see what it looks like on television. Obviously, because I mean, not breaking news here. You guys remember when San Diego State played at Qualcomm? It looked awful.
Ugh.
You know, like Qualcomm looked great on television when it was packed for Charger games. Up until the last,
even then, it didn't.
On television, I thought it always
looked
great.
Good on TV.
It looked good. I thought on TV, it always looked good when it was packed.
It looked classic.
On TV, you couldn't tell it was a dump. On TV, you couldn't tell that it was leaking, that you were getting pee probably on you from that leak. You know, you couldn't tell that Jim Nance was in a closet broadcasting this game with, like, all the wires of the stadiums right above his head. Like, you didn't know that from watching it, Charger games on television. When San Diego State played there and there was nobody in the seats, it looked awful. And I'm glad it was at 8:30 at night when they showed those games back then, because there was nobody there. There was no excitement. You had, like, the D-list crew from CBS Sports. Nothing against them. I would take that job in a heartbeat. But you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't this big feel. It didn't feel like college football. It didn't feel like it's supposed to feel on college game days on Saturdays. It felt, like, sad. And I was there for a lot of those games, and it was sad. You know, I would be there at 11 at night for those games that kicked off because I love my team because I went there, but I understand that passion isn't there in San Diego for the Aztecs. But I'm hoping tomorrow, at least, or Saturday at least, that it looks like a college stadium, that it's packed and sounds like a college stadium. You're going to have the number one crew. CBS is going to play that music for your kickoff, that great college CBS kickoff music. Like, I'm really hopeful that it looks great on TV. And I don't know, because I don't know what it looks like. Nobody does yet. So, curious.
I think we're going, I hope that, and I spoke about this yesterday, the aesthetics of how this thing looks will help it go a long way for people going down there to it. Like, Petco Park, when it opened, looked amazing. And when people got in and on television, it looked amazing. This looks good when you drive past it. It looks good when you see it from the freeway. At night, it looks fantastic.
At night, it looks awesome.
It looks awesome at night.
Yeah, it looks awesome at night.
Put people in it, turn the lights on, and now let's see it.
I don't think you're going to need lights on Saturday.
Well, no, but
it's going to be so damn hot. You need sunglasses.
Camera angles, viewpoints, because we're going to get so much information about the stadium after the open. I'm interested to see what people say about the seats because we've already heard a person say that the seats are tat too small. Sight lines, which no one talks about until you get in there. And so there's a lot of things about a new stadium that you don't know until people put butts
in the seats. Yeah, that's funny because, like, you said sight lines, and it's always that thing where everyone at San Diego State says there's not a bad seat in the house because it's the way they've built it. I think only the first – I don't want to misspeak, but I think, like, the first, like, 10 rows – are the only ones open on the lower level. Everything else is kind of covered by the top. So you really are on top of each other. So they say there's no bad seat in the house. There's a lot of bad seats at Petco that no one can, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot of bad seats at Petco that you just can't see most of the field.
And no one talks about it.
No one talks about it because it's dope. And I think if you're in San Diego, you know where to sit. Now, if you're in San Diego, you know where to sit.
If you get one of those bad seats at Petco, here's what you do. You get out of the seat. Either you go to park in the park and you watch the game from there. You go to one of the various bars. You drink and watch the game from there. Mm-hmm. And by the time you realize, wait, I need to get back to my seat. The game is about to end.
Like, do you really need to get back to your seat at that point?
Right. So that's the little
I actually did that this year myself. I just wanted to go with a buddy. We didn't care where our seats were. We went on the Game Time app day of, paid like $25 to get in. Never even once saw my seat. I don't even know where my seat was. I never made it. I just went to the Cutwater bar and I sat on the balcony and watched the whole game from there.
That's how me and my buddies, when I go back to Cleveland, do every Cleveland game. You can buy the backyard ticket, which is like a porch bar area where all you got to do is buy the ticket. It's a standing room, like, and it's just a right field section. That's what we do. We just buy it like hour, two, three before the game. If I'm in town, like, hey, do it. That's what we did this last year. Just a month ago, we saw the Houston Astros, saw Verlander spin one against us, but it's great. And then you just walk around, you hit the different food places and beer places. There's a place behind home plate. My buddy works, and you're just in and out. And before you know it, you're just like, oh, yeah, you see a rally going from some standing perch with a beer in your hand. That's the best way to take in baseball.
I'm really stoked, though. Congratulations to San Diego State. This is what you wanted. You got it. Let's go out there, Aztec fans, and support the team. But I would assume that most people in San Diego are locked in on Padres at Dodgers. That is a massive series this weekend. The Padres in Los Angeles for three. Let's take a look at the wild card standings as we speak here on Thursday. The Phillies, 73-58, have a half-game lead over the Padres. The Padres, 73-59, have a two-and-a-half-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers, 69-60. Here's what's fascinating, boys, this weekend. We're rooting for the NL West because the Phillies are in San Francisco. We just swept them. Giants, aren't you mad? Don't you want to go win some games? Go beat them Phillies. And the Brewers are taking on baseball's hottest team, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I actually don't know if they're baseball's hottest team, but they do have a winning record after the All-Star break. So this weekend, we hate the Dodgers, and you're rooting for the other teams in the NL West. Let's go.
Yeah, I was, the other series, I was rooting for the Dodgers over the Mets. In my opinion, you'd want, as a Padre fan, you'd want the Braves to win that division and stay away from the Braves. I think they're just built for October, but I'd rather see the Mets slip into that second place in the NL East if all things work out the way the Padres are going to need it to work out and want it to work out.
What is the – I'm taking a look at the standings in the NL East. The Braves are 3 games back of the New York Mets. So, I mean, it's possible that the Braves go out and take the division, and then now you're looking at – but I think the way it works, and excuse me if I sound totally dumb here, I believe the Padres will play the division winner, the 3 seed in the playoffs. If they – if – or is it the 4 seed? I'm trying to remember.
Wait, no, the Padres would be the well,
depending on if they get the 5th or the 6th.
Right.
They're not going to get the 4th. No. They're not. They're just not going to get the
4th. So I think they would play the 3rd seed.
Which would be the 3rd seed
would play
the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, because right now the Padres are the 6th seed. If they would right now take on the Cardinals.
Right.
And the Braves would take on the Phillies at this moment. Yeah. So.
Right.
And that all 3 would be on the road. And then you have to win 2 out of 3. So plenty of time to worry about that, though. Like, you just got to get in there to start. I know Browner started the show talking about World Series, but I just think there's a lot of baseball. A lot of that baseball is against the Dodgers, against the Cardinals, against the Diamondbacks, the hot Diamondbacks. So it's a lot to happen. This weekend, though, in L.A., avoiding the big guns, I would say. Here are your pitching matchups for the weekend. Tomorrow night, Yu Darvish against Dustin May. Dustin May's looked really good, by the way, since coming back from Tommy John surgery. He has a losing record against the Padres, but he's got good numbers against the Padres, if you would believe it. On Saturday, I mean, you could just chalk this one up as a big fat L probably, right, boys? Sean Manaea taking on Julio Urias. Urias 14-7 with a 2.32 ERA. And on Sunday, Browner's boy, Mike Clevinger, taking on Andrew Haney. So the Dodgers, they
look
take
those
on the
three
Mets
ERAs time. They're going up against 164, 232, and 212. I mean,
yeah, but
I know, but it's still like
pitched twice.
I know, but still, you sit there and you go, geez, oh man, like everybody that doesn't even like they don't even rely on these guys have minuscule ERAs.
Yeah, that's actually very true because like. I feel like everyone on that team has like minuscule ERAs, like legitimately, like almost everyone on that team. But I mean, that's what happens when you don't lose ball games because they just don't.
90 and
Andrew Haney started 10 games, so not that many. Any predictions on what you're going to see this weekend?
I'm looking at two games. I'm looking at 2 wins. First and the 3rd game, I'm looking at wins. I have no idea what we're going to get from Sean Manaea, but I like how they're heading into LA. I also think at this point, LA's got a couple of pitchers out, and they've had a couple of two-run wins as well. So we're coming in. We've been scoring runs. We've kind of got our groove offensively. We're facing some nondescript pitchers. So this might be our opportunity to go in there and take 2 out of 3. And one of the things I was thinking about with this series is that this isn't about them. So we're not going in, and it's not like a matchup Padres-Dodgers division battle. This is more about the Padres trying to continue to move along building. The Dodgers are in, period. That's done for. But so their focus and their what they're trying to tinker with down the stretch is completely different than what we're doing. So I'm expecting for the Padres to be a little more sharper, a little more attentive, and frankly, a little more successful in this series against the Dodgers. That because this isn't the beginning of the season where they're actually a challenge in this neck and neck. And so the Dodgers are locked in like the last time we played them after the All-Star break. This, not so much.
Yeah.
I love your positive spins on things. I just love it.
No, he's got a point because this isn't about slaying the Dodgers right now. That's going to have to come in October. That mindset, right. That attitude of slaying the team that is so far away from you right now and is just you know, at another level, pretty much against everybody in baseball at this point. I mean, if they play this, if they play the winning percentage ball that they've been playing since the middle of June, they're going to break the Mariners' all-time win record. If they even just play the win percentage that they're playing for the season, they're going to sniff it. They're going to get around 113 or 114 just playing 700 ball the rest of the way. So the Padres,
they have 90 wins and we just got to September.
It's incredible. The Padres are, their theme should be, Didn't matter that that was just the Giants. That wasn't, it wasn't what it was about. It was about getting out of there with either two out of three or that three game sweep. Let's build this one. We feel like we are a two out of three game winner in this series, but let's go for the sweep. Let's play every day. And I think that approach, you're right, Browner. It's the, you know, buttoning things up, tightening little things up. This is the time. Melvin's kind of squeezing this team into, you know, riding Machado's hot bat. You know, a little bit of other just fear in the lineup because guys that are in there and you know, even if they're, you know, one for their last 10, before that they might have hit a couple of home runs like a Bell or a Drury. So they got to go out there. I'd love to see Machado. Would this be great for this team to have a Manny Machado just kind of be the Superman this weekend along with the pitching staff?
Oh, they need it.
You know, and they just have it. Him just, you know.
This is what Manny Machado did in the month of August. Just the month of August, he was clearly the Padres' best pitcher. Hit 342, six home runs, 28 RBIs, scored 20 runs, on base percentage nearly a 400, OPS of 1.011. That's amazing. Against the Dodgers this year, a 182 average, zero home runs, zero RBIs, 15 strikeouts in 33 at-bats. He's striking out nearly half the at-bats. Yeah. So he needs to step it up against the Dodgers, which this year he has not done against the Dodgers. And if you guys remember, I don't know if we played this, I think, Browner, the Sunday night that the first Sunday night that the Padres got Juan Soto, they interviewed Peter Seidler on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball during
the game. I remember seeing that.
And he said, we need to slay the dragons up the freeway. And I liked the analogy then because I like it now even more because you don't have to conquer the Dodgers because no one's going to think you're better than them.
Not right
but
now.
But you do have to slay the Dodgers to possibly get into the castle, which is the playoffs. Right. Because you play them 9 times, you really do have to go out there and fight. You can't get swept. You can't go 0-9. You can't go 1-8. You can't go 2-7. You legitimately, we talked about this yesterday, at a bare minimum, 4-5. Minimum. You can't let this team run all over you. That could derail your playoffs just from one team because you play them so many times. They're going to have to step up, which they haven't done in the last year and a half against this team. And they're going to have to play better. They're going to have to pitch better. If Josh Hader comes in, it might be nervous. It might be nervous Nelly time, man, but you got to go out and it is what it is, dude. This is what the Padres have put themselves in by underperforming for a lot of the second half of the season, that they now have to go and take on the best team in baseball, maybe the best team ever assembled in all of baseball, according to wins and losses. And you got to go out there and not get your ass kicked. You have to go out there and get wins. That's just a simple fact. You have to.
I don't disagree with any of that. But the main thing that I want people to walk away with is that this series is not about them. It's about us, 100%. It doesn't matter how they look. It's how we look. It's how we get wins. Again, that second game, I'm just talking that bad boy up, because Sean Manaea, he takes the mound. He might be great. He might be terrible. More than likely, he's going to get smashed. But what we know coming in is you're going to get battles from Soto. You've been getting great at-bats from Machado, even though he hadn't played well against the Dodgers. Drury and Bell have picked up as we've gone along. And again, we just need another hero or a guy to step up every other day of this series for it to be something that we can walk away from going, see, here's the light. This is how this is the playbook. This is how we do it. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. And I want to see who Bob Melvin runs out in these lineups against these pitchers.
It's got to be the same lineup that he's probably been going out.
I'm talking about the bottom half. The bottom half has been some ins and outs. Obviously, the guys at the top will be the guys at the top. But
what you're hoping for is for Darvish to keep going at least 6. He's the one that's been going 7. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's what you would hope is that, you know, Darvish goes out there, gives you 7. What you would hope is that Manaea just doesn't absolutely implode like he has proven that he can do. If he goes out there and goes 5 and allows 4, 5 and allows 3, that's doable against this lineup. Right. You know, Clevinger, he's looked really, really good, and he's looked not so good. So he's kind of like the wild card on this weekend. I'm expecting you, Darvish, to go out there and perform well against the Dodgers. And performing well against the Dodgers, like you said, Browner, it is up to the Padres, but performing well against the Dodgers might be winning 7-8, 8-7, you know, because the Dodgers get their runs. Like, they score.
Right.
So it might be like, hey, the pitching staff might get a little roughed up, but the Padres on the road, and especially this road trip, have been scoring runs finally. Like, they finally have started to score runs consistently every single game. And look at the results. Five of their last six games they've won because they've scored at least five runs every game. So if they can continue to score at least five runs, give their pitchers a chance, because you never know what the Dodgers can do, then I think that's all you could really ask for. If you continue to score at least five runs, then, you know, you're going to rely on your pitching. Let's see what happens.
What they're going to have to do in this series, what they didn't do in San Francisco, but they were able to get away with it, is they're going to have to score an insurance run or two late in the innings if they have some leads, like they did have leads, and they almost gave away all three of those leads. So all of those games were one-run final scores, and they all had, I believe, at least 2 to 3 run leads in all of those games. So you're right. They're going to have to – the bat's going to have to pick up if you're going to beat this team, because the Dodgers will get guys across the plate. But the important thing is even if they grab these early leads with Darvish and Clevinger, it's, you know, the bullpen isn't the, you know, it's performing, but let's not fool ourselves. This is Dodger lineup. So you're going to have to go get a sixth or seventh or eighth inning run or two before, you know, Dodgers come and get their two or three in the bottom of the seventh or eighth or whenever it is, like these other teams just did to the Giants just did. So,
I know we're talking really specifics, but I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how. Just win some games.
Yep.
Win some games. Show is brought to you by West Coast Barbecue Shop. It's Labor Day weekend, and this is the place to go, everybody. West Coast Barbecue Shop, westcoastbarbecueshop.com, for your biggering eggs, for your grills, for your sauces, for your rubs, for your meat locker necessities, and all your accessories for your grills. West Coast Barbecue Shop. There's no better place to get ready for this long Labor Day weekend. It's hot. Go grill. Let's get some food in our bellies. And what better place, you could just ask Browner, than West Coast Barbecue Shop, westcoastbarbecueshop.com. Russell Wilson got paid, boys. And I mean, let's talk about that next. Is it worth it, Browner? Welcome back, everybody. Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. One more day before we hit this little 4-day weekend for everybody. Scott and Browner will be, and Jason will be back on Tuesday. I will be back on Wednesday. Then it's all full steam ahead for the NFL season, which, by the way, boys, this morning, I don't know, 5:45 a.m., 5:30 a.m., you get the alert. Russell Wilson signs a 5-year contract extension with the Denver Broncos. I don't think that's surprising to anybody. The numbers might be a little surprising, though. I would think for a guy that's been in the league for 10 years, who's coming off maybe his worst season ever, even though statistically not as different as we might expect, Russell Wilson has come in and he signed a big one. And I mean a big one, boys. 5-year extension worth $245 million. With a guarantee of $165 million. For context, this is where he now ranks as far as top-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Per year average, Aaron Rodgers, 50.271. Number two, Russell Wilson, $49 million, followed by Kyler Murray at 46.1, Deshaun Watson at 46, and Patrick Mahomes at 45. Guaranteed money, he got the third most ever behind Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, no one's going to touch that anymore. Deshaun Watson, $230 million. Kyler Murray got $189.5. And there he is, Russell Wilson, $165 million guaranteed.
That's right, to the bank.
Why was I surprised at the amount? I almost feel like...
Say it.
He just hasn't been as good as advertised.
There you go.
I'm not telling you, but here's the deal. Is he better than Drew Lock? 100%.
Yes.
I'm getting to my point. Does he make the Broncos a playoff team? Yes. In my opinion, yes. If you're the Denver Broncos and you had the opportunity to go get Russell Wilson, they made the right move. Did they overpay? Maybe. That's a lot of money.
Here's the problem. Well, I don't have a problem with the deal because you're worth what someone will pay you to do whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
What I see this as an issue for him, because contracts determine pressure. And with this amount of money, Russell Wilson has to win. Because when you sign this kind of deal, the weapons around you disappear. This is what happened in San Francisco. This is what happened in Seattle.
Kansas City.
When you sign this type of deal, Green Bay, the people around you that made you look good begin to disappear because they want to get paid too.
What will happen in Los Angeles?
It will continue to happen in football because there is a hard salary cap. So I don't think that this contract is going to hurt them this upcoming year. Down the road, this will be a bad contract. Not because they have to pay him so much money. It's because what you now cannot have because you have him. This isn't a Lamar Jackson situation where you just need offensive linemen and you could just draft some wide receivers because Lamar Jackson is going to do most of the running. This is a situation where Russell Wilson needs dudes. The reason why he wasn't great in Seattle last year, he has dudes. When these dudes' money up, because I think that two of their wide receivers are on rookie contracts. I think the tight end Noah Fant is not on a rookie contract.
He got traded to Seattle.
Okay, perfect. So
you got Jerry Jeudy, who's in the rookie contract, and I don't know if Cortland Sutton has been paid yet. I'll look it up right now.
He may be at the end of his rookie deal. So they found a way to pay him. The question is, Mr. Broncos County, let's ride. I thought you was about winning, baby.
Cortland Sutton got as a four-year deal, so he's good.
Okay. If you want to win, you don't take the most money.
And by the way, this is on top of 2 years that he already has. So
Right. I was going to say, why I was surprised.
So total, and then I'll let you go, Jay. 7 years.
Yeah.
Total locked into Denver. 7 years, $296 million. Because the contract he currently has right now, 2 years remaining, gets paid 24 this year, 27 next year.
Yeah, which was I was just surprised at that amount of money already, that commitment this early. I thought Denver was doing what a lot of teams were probably going to try to do if they picked up Russ from Seattle during all this. And that was, you know, prove that type of money by coming out of the gate here and showing us why we got you, because we still got you on 2 years, and, you know, prove to us that this extension can be made early. But to just throw it all out there now with a rookie coach coming in, and like Browner said, weapons will disappear. You know, if things don't work out, guess what? They're going to be on to coach two in year three. And, you know, he had Pete Carroll every single year. Even when things weren't the greatest in Seattle, they were grinding through and getting to maybe a wild card or getting to, you know, a division win with a bad record, let's say. But, you know, this is going to be – I'm really shocked. I got a question for both of you guys, because when we looked at list, it now poses this question to me, especially now that Russ is on 7 years. Would you rather – I think I know Alex's answer, maybe, and I think I may know Browner's, but I'd like to hear your breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Would you rather right now, would you feel better about or if you're a football team and let's just all things being equal that the roster is set up, man, the rest of the roster is set up. Would you rather have Russ at that money for the next 7 years, knowing what you know about Russ right now and knowing what you know about him in the past? Or would you rather gamble on having Deshaun Watson and take away the morally, you know, I'm talking about a fan, like, okay, would you rather have Deshaun Watson knowing he has to sit out those 11 games and knowing that, hey, man, something worse might happen down the road? something you know isn't going to happen to Russell Wilson. I mean, that guy, you know, he's going to church every day. Where would you rather have your quarterback right now, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, knowing all those things? I'll let Alex go first.
Yeah, I don't want to touch Deshaun Watson. Sorry. I just don't.
Yeah.
I personally just don't. I don't.
Sure.
You know, I don't think you forget how to be a quarterback. We also don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to look like. He hasn't played football in over a year. He's not going to play football until week 13 because of the bye week. That's almost 2 years completely off. I'm not telling you forget how to play football. We just don't know. Russell Wilson, for all the grief that we give him, let Russ cook. The Seahawks started trending downward once he got paid. Russell Wilson is like, he's not Mr. Unlimited. He's Mr. Consistency. You're getting 4,200 yards. You're getting maybe 30 touchdowns and minimal interceptions. He's going to give you that.
Yeah.
Like, that is for sure what you're going to get. I'll take that consistency all day. at the quarterback. This is also coming from a guy who's got Kirk Cousins, so I don't expect much.
Right. No, I mean, his win-loss record, when you look at it over time, he's been to two Super Bowls, won the one.
His struggles so have come into play.
And even if I would even say, like, let's say the Watson thing isn't what it is. Let's just say he's suspended for another 11 games for something other just dumb knucklehead hybrid Josh Gordon, Johnny Manziel, whatever type of – you're still going with Wilson, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Browner?
I don't even have to debate this back and forth. I would rather have Deshaun Watson on trial, off trial, OJ trial, any trial over Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. Yeah, he hadn't played in over a year and some change at this point by the time he comes back. But for the long run, there's a fly in here, sorry. For the long run, I like Deshaun Watson. He had a better college career. He was having a fantastic pro career on a far worse team with far worse coaching. And obviously we know what led to what it led to. I think his career in Cleveland will be far better, not better, far better than Russell Wilson's career in Denver, because I believe in Deshaun Watson more than I do Russell Wilson. So I would much rather have Deshaun Watson. He's younger with way more ahead of him than have Russell Wilson for the next 6 or 7 years on this current contract.
I find it fascinating that that Wilson, I mean, you take what you can get, I guess, but I find it fascinating that he just went through the situation that Browner outlined in Seattle, where they were really good when they could spend money elsewhere.
Yeah.
And in the division that he's in, there's one team that hasn't paid their quarterback, and they are quote unquote stacked everywhere else. And that's the Chargers, because Herbert's on a rookie deal. That team will not look the way it looks right now in a year or two, when Herbert now surpasses all these guys and becomes the best paid quarterback in the NFL. So I find it surprising that Wilson still went out there, still took this massive, massive contract after just experiencing what he experienced in Seattle. Now, I'm not telling you they should have come out here and taken $15 million like Brady's taking, because he's still young enough. He still needs to get, you know, his hundreds of millions of dollars lined up as well. But I almost find, like, wasn't there a better happy medium than you getting paid $49 million a year? Like, that's really, really, really high for a guy that's going to be 34 years old right now.
If you look around the league, there are ways that he could have structured the deal to make sure that there's room for other guys to get paid, to make sure that there's room to bring other guys in. And I love the persona around Russell Wilson, that he pretends to be Mr. Children's Hospital and he's the super team guy. You know what tells you the truth about people? Money.
Well, you know what? You know what's fascinating?
The guy who's supposed to be so giving. I'm so giving to the community. I'm so giving to my teammates. I'm taking pictures of my offensive lineman. Look at me. Dad mode activated. No, man. Give me my money.
I don't know how much he's going to. That's unfair. You don't know what he's going to do with that money.
Yeah,
I
do.
I'm arguing.
He's going to help Sierra make a better album, because it's been trash for her for a while.
Yeah.
Build a studio in your house with that money, bro. Get Swiss Beats in there. Get Pharrell in there. Get Kanye in there, because her music is trash now.
When you look at the top 10 quarterbacks getting paid, there's a big consistency in the top average, and that's youth. You take away Aaron Rodgers, who's selfish. We all know this about him. He's getting paid a lot of money. He got rid of his best receiver. He got rid of his best receiver because he didn't care. But you got Kyler Murray, young. Deshaun Watson, young. Patrick Mahomes, young. Josh Allen, young. Derek Carr, young. Dak Prescott, young. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, not so young.
Man,
Russ turns 34 in November. That puts him at 41 at the end of the 41 at
coming
the end
off
of
a hand injury. Coming off a hand injury.
In a whole new environment, a whole new coach. He's new. Well, he's known one NFL coach.
Altitude.
Who's long in the tooth. Altitude.
Weather change is going to be colder.
Hardest
there.
Division in football with some of the youngest stud quarterbacks coming up the pike.
He's been in the hardest.
The oldest quarterback in the division.
He's been in the toughest division for a long time. So.
Did not like
that.
Yeah,
but there was years that was bad. That was a bad division. Yeah. There was years they were winning in it 7-9 and having a home playoff game.
For the most part of his career, the Cardinals were terrible.
Yeah, they were terrible.
And the 49ers were finding their way. Now, obviously, when they hired Kyle Shanahan, they've been great. But before that, remember Tom Sula? Remember all these
Mike Singletary?
All these coaches they went through?
Mike Singletary.
Right.
That was crazy. That was terrible.
And Jeff Fisher Harbaugh was before
came
that.
Harbaugh only came in for a cup of coffee right. and then bolted.
Right.
Yeah, but they were really good for that cup of coffee.
No, I know, but they weren't. It wasn't like it is now where it's like every year, you know, Rams are a Super Bowl.
Before Sean McVay, Jeff Fisher was coaching the Rams, and that was 8-8.
But the last like 3 years,
7-8.5.
Last 3 or 4 years, the NFC West has been like the best division in football.
No doubt.
And that's what I'm saying. So now he's going to the new best division in football, and that could change next year. We don't know. But. Browner, you'll be happy about this one. Something you'll agree with. The Titans have given Derrick Henry a raise, not an extension, a raise.
Thank goodness.
He is now going to make $14 million this season, the most of any running back in the NFL.
Well deserved.
And he will be a free agent. No, excuse me. No, he has another year under his deal. But Derrick Henry, he got paid.
That is great news to me because everybody devalues running backs. But if you watch them play without him, Ryan Tannehill is terrible.
Terrible.
In the rank of starting quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill is terrible. And you saw that. And that's why this kid that they got out of Liberty, whose name escapes me at this moment, Malik Willis, that's why Malik Willis is getting so much positive energy behind him because they're looking at Malik Willis and with the unknown, and they're looking at Ryan Tannehill with, we know what you can do. It's not great. You're not leading us anywhere. Now, if you get that energy of Malik Willis and Derrick Henry together, Tennessee might be on to something. And they just signed Josh Gordon, who apparently is off the weed now. He sucks at football, but you never know. They lost A.J. Brown, and they're bringing in him.
I find that situation in Tennessee very fascinating because they were the one seed last year. That we all forget, and Derrick Henry was out and Ryan Tannehill. But yeah, he did. He lost Julio Jones. He lost AJ Brown. And now you got someone sniffing down your neck trying to take your job. That'll be a very fascinating. If Mike Vrabel gets that team into the playoffs again, he's like the best coach of all time. Because how you got, not of all time, but he's a very good coach.
Yeah, but that division.
How the hell did you get them even in the freaking, like.
Well, that division stinks.
Colts will
Carson
be better.
We'll see. I mean, Matt Ryan might have some extra juice in him, and if he does, they can be very good. If Matt Ryan can have a season, they can be very good. I will say that. But, if he's just an aging quarterback out there as the season goes on, it's just going to be another collapse.
The Colts are kind of they're going through very similar quarterbacks right now, just aging white dudes. They went Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. Who I don't know who's next, but you know, like they're just trying to patch it. Instead of going all in on a quarterback, they just keep trying to patch it. They're just throwing duct tape. They're like, this will stop leaking. We will get there. We will finish this. So, other NFL news, locally, Sony Michel has signed with the Chargers. Running back, obviously, last year had a very productive season for the Rams as they dealt with all their injuries with Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. He then went to Miami, got released, and now he is now probably the backup to Austin Eckler. So another big name for the LA Chargers. I don't even think we need to talk about the Jalen Reagor thing because nobody cares. But we will talk about this, Jason. No. Baker Mayfield, I showed you guys the quote of what he told Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. He said, "I'm going to F them up." In regards to playing the Cleveland Browns Week 1. And now yesterday, as soon as there's a mic in front of him, Baker, did you really say that? Did you really, really go out there and tell everybody that you're going to F up the Browns? And this is what he had to say.
How closely does that resemble how you feel about Cleveland next week?
Well, first, I didn't say it. Obviously, I mean, everybody's going to write whatever story they want. There's history that I played there the last 4 years. I'm an extremely competitive person. Everybody knows that. If I wasn't wanting to win, then there would be a really big issue of me being quarterback here. So I want to win in everything I do. That'll never change. Now, that is not how I phrased it. That's not even what I said. So I'll just leave it at that.
How did you phrase it, if you don't mind?
I didn't even say anything.
Just, did you not talk to her at all? Or?
No, I talked to her. I mean, I think she addressed it. She said it. Obviously, you guys can go back and look at what she said. But all I did was dream. I hope we win. It's pretty plain and simple. Competitive, I want to win. And I don't think that should be harped on.
I believe Deshaun Watson more than I believe that. I just said I want to win. He didn't just say that. Dude, you know, even if she ran with that comment, he should have just been like, I don't know, well, you know, maybe she heard what she heard, but look, at the end of the day, this is what I'm here to do. So let's play football Sunday. But you know, I tweeted yesterday. I go, you know, if he could backpedal on the field as good as he does with the media, he'd be a much better quarterback.
The funny thing is that he said, I didn't say that, and then proceeded to say, but I really do want to do that.
Right, you know, that's like, the whole point.
Like, it's okay, man. Like, it's okay. Just say
the problem with this particular statement by Baker Mayfield is we've heard him talk like this throughout his entire career. So now magically, all of a sudden, you don't talk like that no more? Like, bro, it's who you are. It's what got you to commercials. Stick with it. Stick with it. Like, own it.
All of a sudden, you're just shucks, I want to win.
Now you Phillip Rivers all of a sudden.
If
she's got audio of this, she should play it. She should, because he just basically called her a liar, which as a reporter, that's one of the worst things you can be called by an athlete is a liar. Now, misquoted is different. He said he didn't say it.
Right. And regardless, he said it a whole different way, which is not his style.
Yeah, I think regardless of what he said or didn't say, he's going to play week one wanting to F them up.
Sure.
And it's totally okay to say that, Baker. You know, hey. I didn't say that to her, but I want to. I really do want to F them up. And you know who else I want to F up? Everybody else in my division. The Saints, the Bucks, anybody else on my schedule. I want to F them up too, which is kind of what he's trying to say, but trying to play the politically correct game. But we all know Baker isn't a politically correct quarterback, which is all good. That's his thing. Ain't nobody breathing it down your neck, man. You know, there ain't no Malik Willis behind you, dude. Go out there, perform, do what you got to do. If your shoulder's healthy, I think he'll be okay, actually. I think the reason he was so awful is because his shoulder was so screwed up last year. He's going to be middle of the pack quarterback.
If McCaffrey has a big season, mm-hmm. or just a good, you know, what they he expect McCaffrey field. To do. Yeah. If he takes the field, stays on the field and can, you know, obviously get carries and catches and have the offense go through him successfully. It's got to go through him successfully first for Mayfield to be a cog in that success. It's not going to go through Mayfield first. He's not going to create all these plays for these weapons. These weapons are going to have to get out there and they're going to have to obviously protect them. And, like I said,
football is a week away, boys. We are just 9 days away from kickoff till we'll get to see Baker Mayfield in a Panthers uniform. And Jason will be there to watch it live.
Yeah.
And it'll be with us the next day. When we come back, we're going to get to highlight of the day. We're going to talk a little bit of tennis. What the hell? We're going to talk a little tennis. Yeah, boys. I watch tennis. And also, a highlight of the day, a little sneak peek. Ohtani. Be right back. Hey, yo. What's up? It's our final segment of the week here on Kaplan and Crew. John Browner, Alex Padilla, Jason Lawhead. It's been a very fun week. It's been a lot of good stuff happening here on the show. We've had some fun with a lot of stories, and I just saw this on Instagram, and I haven't even told these guys what it is, but the story that never ends has a new chapter. What the hell am I talking about? You guys remember when Tommy Pham slapped Jock Peterson?
Yeah.
Like in the beginning of the season over fantasy football because Jock was messing with the IR position and manipulating the league and blah, blah, blah. And then they kicked Tommy Pham out, but the league still exists. And we find out, Eric Hosmer's in this league. Manny Machado's in this league. Guess what, boys? Now we know every player in this league. How do we know? Manny Machado earlier today went on Instagram. Well, actually, Eric Hosmer did it because he can't help himself. And put this picture up that finally shows us who's in this league. It's draft day for the most infamous fantasy football league of all time. Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, Austin Hedges, Alex Bregman, Jock Peterson, Will Myers, Mike Napoli, Stuhl Presidente. I don't know if you guys heard about that. Dave Portnoy took over for Tommy Pham somehow. Christian Yelich, Mike Trout, Shane Boober, Mike Moustakas. That is the most infamous fantasy football draft league in the history of baseball. If that makes any sense, what I just said.
What is the guy from Barstool even doing in this league other than taking? Like, he's not gonna pay no attention to this. He got in this because it was good drama at the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, but God. I don't know how he got into it, but he's in it. And I just find this like I want like a podcast about this. I want to know everything that's happening in this league. I want to know how much they bet. I want to know what the entry fee is. I want to, like, this is just a random list of players. You know, obviously Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, Austin Hedges, Will Myers, you know, those are Padre guys. But everybody, like, how Mike Trout, Jock Peterson, Alex Bregman, Christian Yelich, like, how did that all? I want to know everything about this league. I'm fascinated by this league.
Like, how do they know each other? And to the point where, like, who's the least known to the group, other than obviously the guy from freaking Barstool? Other than, like, because Tommy Pham, obviously they all played baseball. So of that group, who's the guy who's like, hey man, this guy wants to play? And it's like, all right, cool, whatever, yeah. I don't care.
Like, who's the I think it's Hosmer. I think Hosmer is the ultimate connect here. He seems like, as much as we didn't like him in San Diego, players seem to love that guy. Like, yeah, really, really love that guy. So I think Eric Hosmer was maybe the connection to kind of, like, you know, out to everybody else. But I don't know. I want to know about this. There's got to be some sort of...
Yeah, you got to have somebody in that kind of a group that's like that relentless guy that everybody loves that'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll text Hosmer back. Yeah, dude, send me the link. Like, you know, I think probably you're on to something. If it isn't Hosmer, it's somebody that's just like, all right, guys, we're doing it, reminding people all the time as it's getting there so they don't forget. Because listen, let's be honest, Machado... you know, these guys, some of these guys have a lot more happening in their lives than a Napoli and a even Hosmer traded Barstool, Dave Portnoy. You know, he's out there just, what's he doing? Reviewing pizzas once a week.
I think it's great that, like, Manny Machado just in some hotel room in LA with NFL Network on doing a fantasy. Like, they're just like us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Professional athletes.
They probably have somebody like in their crew, one of their boys that run with them all the time, or somebody that's always just like, hey, yo, man, stay online for me. Let me know when it's my pick if I'm not around. And what's his name? You know, like, you know, LeBron has his crew and his buddies and all these guys. They make so much money now. It's even the guys that aren't, you know, famous make the kind of money where you can have, you know, people around being paid.
Right. I mean, dude, we were talking about, I'm not bringing up Matt Ariza, but like how he doesn't have money and yet he's still making like 800K,
yeah,
you know, for being a sixth round punter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right. People make money,
but crazy money.
I want to keep track of it. I might have to go follow Eric Hosmer if he's going to be posting things about this fantasy league. I might have to.
He might be your very favorite new follow now. He clearly lets things slip out.
Remember the, whose birthday was it? Was it Manny Machado's birthday when they all went karaoke singer and not one person put anything on Instagram, but Eric Hosmer posted the entire karaoke fest on Instagram?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about him.
Yeah. How's he doing in Boston, by the way? Anybody know?
Anyone care?
No.
I do. What if he's like turned it up and all of a sudden he like hits home runs and plays defense?
All I know is they took a couple from the Twins, which was
good. Yeah, never mind. Nah. 225, no home runs, 4 RBIs.
Oof.
Well, there goes that.
He might be hurt. Yeah, he's hurt. Injured list. All right. Well, thanks, Eric.
Thanks for
last night. Did anybody here tune in to ESPN last night to watch Serena Williams play in the US Open?
Amazing.
Okay. I've maybe seen 4 tennis matches in my entire life. One of them was that one match in Wimbledon that went like 2 days. I don't remember even who played in that match, but I remember just like, well, I guess I got to watch these guys. Just nobody wants to win this game.
They had to. They had to tell everybody come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I saw that one. I do remember like watching Andre Agassi back in the day, but I can't tell you anything specific. And I do remember watching like one Wimbledon. I think it was Nadal versus Federer, just because it was such a big deal at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That is my tennis experience. Are you guys tennis watchers? Well, Brown, you don't have to answer this. Jason, are you a tennis watcher normally?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I kind of watch it like a little less than I watch golf, which I'll watch like the majors on golf, and I'll tune into some good Sunday action at some good tour events and whatnot. And then that's basically I'll watch the majors a lot. I'll tune in, but I've been watching tennis since I was very young. My dad was always into, you know, obviously he was a basketball coach. He loved every sport. My dad's a huge horse racing fan, and loved tennis, loved to watch tennis. Yeah. And so I grew up, and I'm old enough to remember Borg versus McEnroe and Lendl and all those guys and Steffi Graf, Martina Navratilova. That movie King Richard. I remember those news stories when they were talking about this guy and these daughters. I mean, I'm older than them. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody has that image of the two sisters with like the braids and the hair. Like everybody, like they just kind of took over the tennis world.
Yeah. I mean,
when they were so young, and now Serena's 40.
Yeah.
40 years old. And she's out there competing in what is likely her last tournament. She told, I think, Vogue, like, I'm ready to transition to the next chapter of my life. Everyone's assuming that this is it. She's kind of acting like this is it as well. Browner, did you tune in at all last night to this?
Yeah, I saw most of the end of it. I didn't catch it. When I saw she lost the second set, I was like, uh-oh, I should probably get to my TV. I've always followed the Williams sisters. Steffi Graf. Pete Sampras. So there's some tennis.
That's great.
There's some tennis that I have.
Forrest Becker. God, was
Andy,
he good.
Andy Roddick wasn't great, but I followed him. So I've James Blake. When James Blake started playing tennis, I started watching James Blake play. But then he wasn't great, but he was good. He wasn't great. And so I followed tennis for a healthy portion, so I know who's going on, who's playing. I know a lot of the rules. Not a lot of doubles rules, but.
Yeah, I know most of the rules.
It's a good television watch if you get a good.
It's really easy.
It's a great watch.
They also have like the in soccer it's called VAR. It doesn't exist in baseball yet, but like
their
replay is so quick.
Yeah,
you know when they say the ball's out, then they just right behind them, the screen just shows you the ball and it's out. You know, it's such a such a like technology. It's like right there for tennis because it's so quick. The balls are like it's a fast paced game.
They stopped relying on an old person working part time to determine the championship. Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker.
No, but they still have old people determining things that are part time too. So, but last night, since we all tuned in, wasn't that atmosphere like incredible?
Epic.
Like every single time that she scored a point, it just blew up in there at Arthur Ashe Stadium. They set a record back to back nights that she's played for most people in attendance for a night match. At the arena, Arthur Ashe Arena in New York. The ratings were great. I think it got like 4.3 million people tuned in last night to watch Serena play.
It's only going
to
keep going up.
And it's only going to keep going up. She beat the world's number two player. You know, like this young 26-year-old woman who looked like she was about to go out there and come back after losing the first set. And then Serena, I don't know if you guys saw this. They asked her like, hey, what happened between set two and three? And she was like, oh, you know. I got a little lighter. Use your imagination. It's like, oh, but she was, it wasn't a number two. So I don't know. It's like she's really light. Like she's carrying herself with not this amount of this huge pressure doesn't seem to be on her.
Right.
You know? I think that she knows that her career is cemented no matter what.
Exactly.
If she wins this thing, it would be a storybook fairy tale ending. But if she, I'm not even gonna say flames out. If she loses on Friday, no one's gonna be will be disappointed. But no one's gonna be like, oh, she choked or anything like that. She was the underdog yesterday. She's not supposed to beat the number two world player. Like, she's not even ranked right now.
Serena Williams is one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world, not female. She's one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world. What she's been able to do in her sport, a global sport, a individual sport, I don't think it will be eclipsed. Because the way that she dominated the game for three generations. Mm-hmm. How often does an individual dominate a sport for three generations? And this is tennis where a 37-year-old can be playing a 17-year-old. Like there's no parameters.
Well, 40-year-olds, you know, yeah, there's no rules to this. And you know that who knows what this tournament has in store for Serena? She plays tomorrow again. She's playing tonight with Venus in a doubles match. You know, like she's playing every day, which is just like incredible. And she said, hey, you know, I wasn't playing tennis a lot after I had the kid, but recently I've been practicing. It seems to be, I was having trouble getting, my game wasn't coming to me. And for whatever reason, my prep for New York, I felt like myself again. And these two matches, she's looked like herself again. I think she had a serve of like 124 miles per hour yesterday. Dude. Like
she's free.
Freaking. Yeah,
tennis is no joke either. Physically,
yeah, on your body.
You know, that's when you bring up the greatest athlete of all time, and people be like, oh well, you know, I tweeted yesterday, mm-hmm. and I've said this before that there's no Mount Rushmore of women athletes because Serena Williams, period. It would be disrespectful to her to even throw three other names.
Right.
So she's literally on the Mount Rushmore, or vies for the Mount Rushmore of just athletes, period, in the history of athletes, because it would be disrespectful to even think that three other women are in that physical, athletic, mental, that all the things that it takes, not just, but because tennis is no joke, man. I mean, like you said, she's playing doubles. She's going to play 2 days later. These matches are hours long. They grind. And even if she had lost last night, the way she won, you know, the first set, the way she grinded in set two, and even if she would have lost a hard fought set three, it would have been an epic loss. And you would have tipped your cap almost exactly how you would have tipped it the way she won last
night. The further this goes, the more iconic this is going to get.
Yep.
Because if you think you see celebrities there now, let her win tomorrow. Watch over the weekend how many flights start landing in New York City. How those suites fill up mad quick with people you recognize without them having to put their name underneath. Like it.
Yeah, last night it was who did they confuse for Gladys Knight?
Oh gosh,
did you guys see that?
Dionne Warwick.
I think she's related to Serena and Venus, right?
Yes,
distant cousins. They mentioned that in the movie.
Yes.
I haven't watched that movie.
Great movie.
And now I won't. Will, way to
Thanks,
go.
Thanks, Will. Boy, way to ruin it.
No, it's good. Watch the movie. It's good.
Nah, no thanks.
So I want her to make it to the championship, because the media hype, the energy, and because I like watching events when the energy, you can feel it through the television, and a championship atmosphere in New York City for a person who is the greatest of all time at their sport, walking out this way, you cannot write this. It wouldn't be believable if you attempted to write this. And so
what's really cool about that, Browner, I'm watching this dude and I'm like, I would love to be there,
man.
And I don't say that often about sporting events. I really don't. I like watching sporting events at home. I genuinely would love to be there. Like, love to be there for this. I've never been to a professional tennis match. It's one of the only major sporting event I've never been to, like any sort of professional tennis match ever. And that stadium, that arena, whatever it's called, I would love to be there for that.
It's awesome.
Like, it just looks amazing.
It's called Arthur Ashe Stadium, I think.
It's amazing. Yeah, actually, the guy I'm going to, the Carolina, my friend Joe in Charlotte, who has great hookups.
Biden?
Amazing. No, my buddy Joe Gonzalez, who were taking the game in with me, and my buddy Andy Benton, for that I grew up with. But he was the guy. He has all kinds of connections. He's been to like multiple Olympics. He's gone to Sochi. He had us. We had a center court suite to see Serena and Caroline Wozniacki in the 2014 championship. It was unbelievable. McEnroe visited our suite. I'll text you over some pictures if you want to share them on the show. McEnroe was hilarious. He visited our suite. He talked to us. We were allowed to ask him some questions. Unbelievable atmosphere, tennis, especially in that Flushing Meadows, New York area. It was the first time I had ever been to a professional tennis match myself when I went, and that whole atmosphere, all of the stadiums on those grounds, it's just really cool. It has this, you know, just, you can tell it's different. It's special. It's like when I went to the Masters this year, it's just, there's something about it in the air that you just are like, man, this is awesome. And what a match.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm gonna keep watching. I'm gonna tune in tomorrow, and I genuinely like enjoyed myself last night watching that. So it was a good time. Right now, boys, there is a new promo code at Torrey Holistics, and it's time for the highlight of the day.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Highlight of the day is brought to you by Torrey Holistics. Like I just said, there's a new promo code for the month of September. The promo code is pregame. Pregame is the promo code. You spend $75 at Torrey Holistics, you get 20% off your purchase at Torrey and California Holistics with the promo code pregame, all in lowercase letters. Don't forget, all lowercase letters. Promo code pregame for the entire month of September. I was out there last Saturday. Boy, Browner, you're gonna love this. Mama Padilla finally got her in, man.
Hey-oh.
Finally got her in. She, her knee has been bothering her since this meniscus tear. You know, they opted to go with non-surgical route, so just physical rehab, and she's really been kind of struggling with swelling and sometimes pain. I went out. Remember we interviewed the lady, excuse me, I don't remember her name, from High Gorgeous.
Yes.
The CBD lotion company. I bought her some of that, and then I bought her some, if you're watching this, I don't want to say what I bought her, but another thing, and she's been using it, and the swelling has gone down. There's been no pain. So I finally got Mama Padilla in there. I walked in there, bro, and I was like juvenile in the 90s. I had all my gift cards. I was making it rain. I was like, let's go. I was like, what do you want, man? What you want? There was nobody else in the store. I think I was the first customer that day. I got in there like 8:15 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was an early riser that day because my mom was here, and she was like making breakfast. And I was like, you know what? You're going to make breakfast. Your knee's going to hurt. I'm going to go to Torrey right now. So I drove down up to Torrey, picked up a bunch of stuff. And I also picked up that Dreamt stuff. We talked to the Dreamt people.
What do you think?
I haven't used it yet, but I got the stress reliever and I got the Dreamt, the sleep drops, and they sold out of the pen though.
What's the Dreamt?
Which we,
I got the Dreamt. Gummies. I got the gummies in the pen. The gummies, dog. TKO.
Yeah.
Boom.
Dreamt is a company that they sold at Torrey Holistics, Jason. Right. And they focus, it's a company called Ciencia Labs. Right. They own a couple of brands like the Luchador gummies, and they own a brand called Dreamt.
Right.
And it's this USC grad who was created her own formula on a CBD THC pen to make people go to sleep.
That's what I need. Okay.
And this thing sells out like right away.
Immediately.
Like immediately.
You think but I could put also a text tinctures. In and have one sent aside for me since we do some advertising?
Probably.
They had it available at California Holistic. So we got tinctures, and then Brown got the gummies. Mm-hmm. The tinctures are like fast acting. The gummies take a little while. The pen is like instant. Like you smoke the pen, two hits, whatever, and you're asleep.
So do all three. Minutes.
Yeah, and then don't wake up for a week, and then you're good.
Just to be safe, just do all three.
Yeah,
that's my kind of
a lot happening at Torrey Holistics. It's Labor Day weekend, y'all. You got a new promo code pregame. Go use it. It's a long weekend. They're open all weekend, and they got. Oh, I should just read this too, since we're talking about it. Ruthie sent me something. Now I got to find it. This is gonna take me a while. I messed up. There's so many deals happening at Torrey Holistics this weekend.
I need to get in touch with Scott. We need to re-up my card situation. That's what I need to do. That's what I need.
My sisters took my card. I was like, "Yo, Oxnard Holistics ain't open yet, man."
For safekeeping, you never know, man. She's gonna be the first one there. Like you were the first one there.
1 cent goodie bags for the first 50 customers that arrive on Saturday, September 3rd. 1 cent goodie bags. Labor Day weekend starting today through Monday. 35% off gelato. 30% off chemistry. 25% off Dr. May, Fuss and Friends, Papa and Barkley, Mary's. 20% off. Lost Farm, Lagunitas, Care by Design, ABX, Unlocked. Buy $75 and receive a single higher vibes for 1 cent from Wonder. Buy two, get one for 1 cent from Wild. $4 pre-rolls. All this happening this weekend at Torrey Holistics.
Man.
I love their song, too. It always puts me in a good mood.
Not the product?
Well, the product, yeah, but the song is like
it's a cannabis store.
Oh man, I love hearing it on the radio. It's always like, oh, that's nice, you know, because so many commercials are like loud this now, get it,
Sunday,
call this number, do it, this number, and it's just, they're just like, hey man, what's up,
hey bro.
Well, the highlight of the day is Torrey Holistics. It's this weekend. Go check it out. Labor Day weekend, boys. We're done. This has been a great week. Thank you, Jason, for filling in. You got one more day on Tuesday to filling in for me. I'll be back on Wednesday. Browner, Scott, back on Tuesday. Great friends. We appreciate you all being here. We love all of you. Browner, have fun with the Chatlins today when the show airs. We'll talk to everybody next week. Kaplan and crew. All right, man.
Fun week. A short week's always a fun week.
Yeah. I don't know if Scott knows that we're taking tomorrow off, but
yeah, he
we are.
He better.
Not, Browner. Now we got to work tomorrow.
I mean, well, yeah. Other than that, and then he's gonna say, "Well, why don't you just do the show?" Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we were texting each other yesterday. Browner, did you ever get that chicken sandwich? Is it still
on order? I'm going right now when this is over. Oh.
You really?
Yeah, I'm going right now.
You got to do a Browner review on the YouTube,
because I'm seeing mixed reviews from some other people.
And air it tomorrow, dude.
Okay.
That way we have something that airs tomorrow.
Okay.
Just schedule it for like 3 o'clock or something.
Make it fresh. unlike this burger I'm about to eat.
I almost ordered it last night on DoorDash, but I was like, I feel like I really got to eat it fresh. You know, like I don't know. I don't want to wait for this chicken sandwich to take 20 minutes to get delivered. But it's super cheap. The combo is like $8, dude.
Listen, that's either a good sign or a bad sign. We're finna find out.
It's a small sandwich.
That's what I keep hearing too. I hear it's really small.
Yeah, I think there's 12 flavors because you're going to need two.
Right.
So, all right. Watch out for that video tomorrow. Jason, have a great weekend. We really appreciate you doing this, man.
Always love
it. And your setup looks much, much better, dude.
Yeah!
So much so that I'm going to use you for the thumbnail today. Even though I was already planning on doing it, but now it's easier.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Like I said, my self-esteem is through the roof now. So
yeah, baby. Browner, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow, but great friends. Thank you all. That's it. We out.
Peace. Peace, motherfucker.